Hello again, Mike O'Connor, another Geezer Cast. Pretty cold, late October day. Tomorrow is Maggie's birthday. Gotta remember to say hi to Maggie tomorrow. And, you know, we did a little logging this morning. We chopped down a whole bunch of brush and stuff. We're sort of expanding a prairie up above the house. And that involves mostly cutting down prickly ash and birch trees, both of which are sort of weeds here. This is supposed to be what's called oak savanna, so it's supposed to be prairie underneath in the understory and then oak trees. Not too many oak trees up above. And because this place was logged a lot, the weed trees have gotten in, so we have a lot of birch and we have a lot of aspen and cherry is native, but we're not supposed to have as much as we do. And lots of prickly ash. So we spent a little quality time this morning with the chainsaw, as we have been for the last several weeks, and opened up a pretty nice patch. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. And that got me thinking that I should talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we're doing here on the farm. And one of the things that occurred to me is that while we talk a bit about restoring this place to prairie, one of the things we don't talk about much is where we get the seeds from to do that. I think a lot of people think, well, you know, if you just let land go sit fallow for a while, why, the prairies will come back. In fact, there was an article this week in some magazine, like The New Scientist or Science or something, where people were sort of laying out the timeline of what the world would be like if all of mankind instantly disappeared. And one of the things that they said that was just plain wrong in that article is they said that in 200 years, prairies would sort of take over the Midwest, that it would just return to its normal prairie state. And that's a big nod. If we disappeared and let the fields all go fallow, we would wind up in 200 years with a lot of really weedy fields, but we wouldn't wind up with prairies. We'd wind up with weeds that have come in mostly from overseas, dandelions and stuff like that. And there wouldn't be much prairie at all, if any. Because prairie is hard to redo. Contrary to popular opinion, you really have to work pretty hard at it. As I am, I'm preaching with the fervor of the recently converted. Because if you told me 6 years ago when we were starting this project how hard it was going to be to get prairies to restart in these fields, I'd have thought you were crazy. I thought all you had to do was plant the seeds and step back and let the prairie sort of take off and, you know, overwhelm all the weeds, then that would be easy. And it's not. So that article, at least in that regard, was pretty wrong. And so anyway, I thought I'd talk a little bit about the seeds that we use. Marcy buys a lot of seeds, and in the beginning of this project, we bought almost all the seeds that we use. There are a lot of debates about how many seeds per square foot to put down. And one of the things about prairie restoration is that nobody really knows a lot about it, but there's a lot of guy behavior out there. For those of you who don't know, in our family, we call guy behavior that behavior which mostly guys engage in, although women are fully qualified to behave as guys too. And the behavior is where you say something with great authority, even if you haven't a clue what you're talking about. And actually, the less you know and the more compelling your story, the better you get a guy rating. And when it comes to prairie restoration, there's a lot of guy behavior out there. Essentially, you can almost, on almost any dimension, you can get completely contradictory stories. And all the stories are delivered with a great deal of emphasis. So, you know, what time of year to plant? You know, do you plant in the winter? Do you plant in the spring? Do you plant in the fall? Well, everybody pounds the table and says that whenever they plant, that's the best time. What way? Do you do it with a seed drill, the way a farmer plants corn? Or do you throw the seeds out by hand in the snow? Again, vehement debates. Well, what about mowing? Do you mow all the time or not at all? It goes on and on. One of the big debates is how many seeds per square foot to put down. When we started, we were subscribing to the school of thought that said, well, not a whole lot, because you'll wind up with a prairie that's really too dense. And some of the more aggressive plants will crowd out some of the less aggressive plants. And we've sort of shifted our opinion on that. We put more seeds down these days than we used to. And, you know, mostly just because we like the way the prairies look. It's not that it's necessarily better or worse, but we like the way the prairies look when they're planted a little bit more densely. And that means that we need more seed. And this seed is not cheap. Some of these seeds cost $50 or even $100 or more per ounce. And when you're doing 10 or 15 acres, you're buying more than 1 ounce, I'll tell you that. So when we started, we bought most of the seeds. Marcy has an elaborate scheme that she uses to decide how many and what kind and how many species and what proportion and where to buy them and so on. And we're coming up on that time of year where we're going to buy the seeds pretty soon. And at first we bought almost all of them, so this is a pretty straightforward deal. You just sort of figure out how many seeds to buy and go buy them, and that was that. But now, two other sources of supply really play a big role in the seeds that we put down. The first is that now that we've got close to 100 acres of prairie planted, we can harvest a lot of seeds just from our own place. And in fact, that banging that you're hearing every once in a while in the background is a sound effect, because that's Marcy working in the basement cleaning seeds. I decided this would be a good time to do the show so that you could hear her crunching away every once in a while. See, just like that. And then the other source of supply for seeds is Wisconsin roadsides, mostly Wisconsin roadsides, and occasionally Minnesota, but one of the sort of rules with prairie seeds is that you're not supposed to plant seeds from more than about 50 miles away from your prairie, just so you don't, you know, move something too far away from where it grew up. And so mostly we collect seeds from the roadsides in Wisconsin. Now, I'm saying we all the time, but this is really mostly Marcy's effort. I can't take much credit for any of this, because this part of the process is really her gig. And so all fall she'll be, you know, stopping by the sides of Wisconsin roadsides where it's legal. You know, there's a right of way beside the road for I think it's 30 feet where it's legal for anybody to go and walk and collect seeds and stuff. But then she also talks to lots of local farmers and gets permission to collect seeds on their land as well. And so she's probably got, I don't know, 100 places that she collects seeds from now. And pretty much the whole fall, every spare square foot in the house is covered with seeds. You know, we have newspaper with seeds up here in my little study. I can look out, and I have a skinny little path that I can use to get to my desk and back to the stairs, but the rest of the floor is covered with drying seeds. And she collects so many that she has to process them just to sort of keep up, because otherwise the house is completely overrun. We also wind up with a lot of bugs in the house, because bugs come in with the seeds. So I have all kinds of cool, interesting bugs in my computer that I kind of vacuum out every once in a while. But one of the things that struck me about all this roadside stuff is how fast the prairies are going away by the roadsides. Just in the 5 years that we've been doing this, every year there are two or three places that are either destroyed because they get mowed and then sprayed by the highway department, or there's an intersection of Highway 35 and U.S. Highway 63 where they're building a new intersection and they wiped out a really nice source of seeds right there. And it's sort of sad in a way to watch this sort of unthinking destruction of this habitat and seed source. People don't know what they are. I don't know most of the prairie plants. I know a lot more now that I've hung out with Marcy on the farm for 6 years, but I sure don't know them all. And most people don't know what prairie plants look like as compared to weeds. And so, you know, these roadside places get wiped out. And so I imagine that in the last 5 years or so, Marcy's seen 15 or 20 really good sources of prairie seeds get wiped out, either by farmers or by highway crews. And I was just sort of struck by that. So I decided that was what I was going to talk about today. And there you are. That's the Geezer Cast for today. Oh, one other thing. We bought a gizmo at an auction last week. About 100 years ago, before automated combines came along, farmers used to use something called a fanning mill to process the chaff from the grain. And they went out of fashion. A bunch of them sort of wound up in barns. And last week I went to an auction, local farm auction, and I jumped in the bidding too early. I probably could have waited for the price to get down to a buck, but I jumped in at $2 and didn't have any competitors, so I bought me a fanning mill for $2. That's going to be the winner. Project in the wood shop, I think, is restoring that. It's in pretty good shape, but it's not quite working. I need to fix a few things in there, but it's going to be fun to get that going, and I think it's going to help Marcy process the seeds a lot next year. So there you go. That's the Geezer Cast this week. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you the next time.